Well, let's turn together now to John chapter 10. As we continue our study of this fourth gospel, we come to chapter 10. And it's a large section, yes, again, so you may remain seated as we read this together. But even though it's a large section, it holds together. This is a feast, and it's a complete and balanced meal, so we'll take it together that way. And I trust as we turn our attention there to John chapter 10, and we study about the Good Shepherd, we trust that he'll feed us. He will nourish us. We'll be greatly encouraged by God's word to us here. It's a beautiful passage. Certainly we can't do justice to it, taking it all at once, but we're going to look to God's word here, knowing that he will bless. So let's pray, and then we'll read together John 10. Father, we do thank you for the feast of your word and the nourishment it provides to our very souls. We pray that you would do that work now, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would see more fully, perhaps than ever before here this morning, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would rest and trust in him and follow him all the days of our life. Be glorified, we pray, in the reading and preaching of your word now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, you may remain seated as we read this longer reading here, the whole of John chapter 10. We remember this is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Let's give our attention to it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, 'You are gods.'" If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, "You are blaspheming because I said, 'I am the Son of God'"? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's give our attention now to this wonderful passage, John 10. Last Lord's Day, we were in John 9, just to remember the context a little bit. We read the story of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. This had never been done since the beginning of the world. And it's a story that was used to show the great contrast between Jesus, the healer of this blind man, and the Pharisees, who would cast this man out. Remember the contrast going on there. The Pharisees accuse the blind man of sin. Jesus saves him from his sin. The Pharisees preached their law-keeping, their righteousness to this blind man. Jesus preached the gospel to him. The Pharisees went out of their way to revile and demean this blind man. But Jesus came and lifted him up. The Pharisees cast the blind man out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. Jesus went and found him, went near to him. The Pharisees are scattering this sheep. Jesus gathers them in. And so that's the context. That's what's just happened. And John 10 is picking up right there where John chapter 9 left off. At the end of John 9, you may recall the Pharisees asked Jesus this question, "Are we also blind?" Now that was meant by them to be a rhetorical question. They thought they knew the answer. They thought Jesus would certainly answer in the negative. "Oh, no, you're not blind. You're the leaders, the religious leaders of Jerusalem. You're the elite of the Jews." And so how stunned they must have been, and certainly angered, when Jesus didn't respond in the way they expected. Jesus is now instead invoking that common Old Testament imagery, and we find it in the New Testament often too, but invoking the Old Testament imagery of the shepherd. And he did so to show them just how blind they really are. And that's where our text picks up this morning in John chapter 10, as we look at this great theme of the shepherd of the sheep, and just really two broad points from this large passage this morning, the faithful shepherd and the needy sheep. In verses 1 through 6, Jesus uses the figure of a shepherd and a sheep. And in the Old Testament times, New Testament times as well, shepherds would lead and guide their sheep by day. They would take them out to feed them in green pastures and to make them lie down beside still waters. But when night came, when darkness fell, the shepherd would bring his sheep to the sheepfold. And he would bring the sheep there into the sheepfold for their protection, for their safety. It was a walled structure, a little higher than waist high, and it was a walled all around, but it had one opening, one doorway, through which all of the sheep would enter into this sheepfold, this walled structure. They all had to pass through that one way. And in that one doorway then, through the dark hours of the night, the shepherd would sit there, would guard that entrance from anything going out, anything coming in. And by his presence, he would keep the sheep in the fold. And of course, he would keep the thieves out, the robbers out, the wolves out. Now, sometimes a shepherd would, a sheepfold, that is, would be shared by more than one shepherd and by more than one flock. So you might have two, three, four flocks within the sheepfold. And in those cases, the shepherds might come together and hire a gatekeeper, hire somebody to sit there in the doorway and to watch over the sheep. And the gatekeeper, knowing that he was in service to the shepherds, would open the door, would remove himself from the gate only for those shepherds that hired him. No one else. And as those sheep then were mixed up in the sheepfold, when the time came for a shepherd to lead his sheep out, the only way in which he could do that, gathering only his sheep, was to call to them. And we learn here that even the shepherd knew his sheep by name. And he would call them, and he would lead them out. And the sheep on their part, they would follow their shepherd. They knew the voice of their shepherd. And they would follow him. They would listen to the voice of their shepherd. Not to the voice of a stranger. But they would follow the voice of their shepherd. Now, in all of this, of course, there was but one way in and one way out of the sheepfold. And that was through the doorway. And Jesus says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbed in some other way, such a person is a thief, a robber. He's no shepherd. And the sheep aren't going to follow him. Now we need to stop a moment and ask ourselves, why does Jesus use this figure of the sheep, of the shepherds, and his sheep here in John chapter 10? Well, remember what he's just said, and remember what's just happened in John chapter 9 again. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, those who were called to be the under-shepherds in Jerusalem, in Israel, under-shepherds to the good shepherd, these Pharisees have just cast out a sheep. They've scattered the sheep. They didn't show him mercy. They didn't show him grace. They didn't rejoice in his healing. They didn't take this sheep and lead him to the good shepherd. They sought to keep him away from the good shepherd. And by doing so, they've proven themselves to be thieves, robbers, false shepherds, not true shepherds. They cast out a sheep of the good shepherd. And so Jesus uses this figure of speech to awaken them to the seriousness of their sin, their status as under shepherds, and what they can expect. And perhaps that figure of speech doesn't, you know, resonate really strongly with us today, living in the year we do, but it would have resonated with them. It should have resonated with those leaders in Jerusalem and living in Jesus' day, because what Jesus is referring to here is clearly a text in Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there to Ezekiel chapter 34. The entirety of that chapter deals with this theme of the shepherd and the sheep, and this same kind of contrast going on here. Now, I'm not going to read all of that, but I do want to read a chunk of it there, of the opening verses of Ezekiel 34. And to help us to see then what Jesus is referring to and what these leaders should have had in mind, these would have been words that they knew well. They knew this portion of Scripture. They knew what Jesus was saying, even as Jesus spoke to them in John 10. So Ezekiel 34, that's we're beginning there in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Sends the reading of God's word there from Ezekiel 34, and the passage, of course, continues. You may want to look at that this afternoon. But you understand then what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees as he brings out this false shepherd, true shepherd picture here in John 10. It's against this background of Ezekiel 34 and all that we were reading there. Jesus is saying to them in no uncertain terms, you, scribes, Pharisees, are false shepherds. You're the one to whom Ezekiel 34 is speaking. You are the ones against whom judgment is coming. Well, the Pharisees didn't quite get this yet. Verse 6, they remain blind to their own blindness. That's the depth of sin. So Jesus goes on to apply the words of Ezekiel 34 in even more stark terms. Look at verses 7 through 10. Jesus proclaims, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus identifies himself not only as God, taking the divine name upon his lips, I am, that allusion, that reference there, but he proclaims himself to be the door of the sheepfold. He is the one who sits in that doorway and guarantees the safety of the sheep. The Pharisees are not doing it. They're thieves, they're the robbers, they come in another way, the sheep don't listen to them. And in fact, we saw that illustrated in chapter 9, where the blind man doesn't listen to these false shepherds. Indeed, he challenges them, and he does so boldly. Because you see, it's in Jesus, and Jesus alone, that there is safety, truly salvation. In him alone are there truly green pastures. He's the bread of life. He's the fountain of living water. The sheep must follow him. The sheep must feed upon him. And it's such a contrast, again, to the Pharisees. These Pharisees, remember, who have proven themselves time and time again to be against Christ. Proven themselves to be anti-Christ. Proven themselves to be here false shepherds. To use the language of the previous chapter, to be shepherds of Satan, not of God. They actually want to cast people away from Christ. And Jesus is saying, you've come to steal. You've come to destroy. And what a contrast then to Jesus, who has come that the sheep may live and not just have any old life, but have life abundantly. Abundantly. Eternal life. And Jesus goes on to make that point so beautifully in verses 11 and following, where he proclaims, I am the good shepherd. Now, literally, he's taking that divine name again, but literally in the Greek it says, I am the shepherd, the good one. And what a beautiful statement from the lips of Jesus, taking again upon his lips that divine name, proclaiming that he is God, the great I am, but proclaiming not only that he is God, but that he is good. He is a shepherd, and he is a good shepherd to his people. And he is contrasting that then with the hired hand. He says, a hired hand does not own the sheep. And so when the hired hand sees a wolf coming, well, he flees. He saves his own skin. But he doesn't care for the sheep. But that's not the case with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He cares for the sheep. He protects his sheep even to the very end, even against the wolves. When a wolf comes, he doesn't flee, but he puts himself in the place of the sheep. And he defends his sheep. He knows the sheep, he says, just as the Father knows him, and he knows the Father. Now that's a precious statement. That's one worth sitting on for a little bit. That this is for us the sheep of the good, that for those of us who are sheep of the Good Shepherd. If you're a believer in Christ, your Savior knows you. If you're a believer in Christ, your Savior knows you. And he knows you intimately. In fact, he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything about you. He knows your strengths, and there may be some of those. He knows your weaknesses, and there may be many of those. He knows your successes, your failures. He knows your victories. He knows your sin. He knows your shame. And despite all that, he still says, I'm your shepherd. And he still says to you today, I have loved you, and I'm not going to stop. I will love you still. He says, I am the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And not just for the beautiful sheep, but even the ugly sheep. Not just for the pure ones, but for the ones who have stained themselves and are dirty and their coats are soiled. Not just for the ones who've been in the sheepfold all the days of their life, but for the ones who've strayed and wandered and gotten lost along the way. He lays down his life for every last one of his sheep, and he will gather all of his sheep in. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd, the good one. And he will leave the 99 to go out and seek and save that one lost one. To deliver it from danger, to deliver him from peril. He picks that sheep up and carries him on his shoulders, brings the sheep back safely to the fold. He will not lose a one. And he is a shepherd who speaks tenderly to the sheep, calling them all by name. Think about that. Your Savior knows you by name, and he calls you by name. He summons you by name. He says, you're mine. I've redeemed you. And I'm with you. And in those times when I call you to walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And when I call you to walk through the waters, the water shall not overflow you. For I am with you, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, your Shepherd, your Good Shepherd. And then he repeats the words there again, that he lays down his life for the sheep, and he takes his life back up again for the sheep. What's Jesus saying there? Well, we could make a whole sermon off of this, honestly, every one of these verses. But he's saying this, my death is for my sheep, and my resurrection is for my sheep. It's all for the sheep. What I'm doing there on the cross is for you, and what I'm doing there as I rise up from the dead is for you. Well, after Jesus speaks these wonderful words of the gospel, helping the blind to see, causing them to understand what he's talking about here, pointing the Jews to his death, his coming death and resurrection, what happens? Well, it brings about yet another division. We've seen that again in the previous chapter too. We're seeing it again now. Another division, verses 19 to 21. Jesus has just proclaimed his love for the sheep. He's proclaimed his death and his resurrection. He'll lay his life down. He'll take it back up. How do these Jews respond? Well, they respond, some by saying, he's got a demon. He's insane. And they don't listen to him. Why are any of you listening to this guy? And by this declaration, this isn't the first time they've said it, they are proving that they will not hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. They don't recognize his voice. Which is to say, they're not sheep of his fold. And so they don't listen to him. But others are not so sure. Verse 21. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The answer to that is no. Well, this division only angers the Jews more. And so what do we find the Jews doing in the following verses? We find them gathering like wolves, like thieves, like robbers, gathering around the shepherd to devour the shepherd. It's not enough for them to destroy the sheep, to scatter the sheep, to cast out the sheep from the sheepfold. They also now want to take down the shepherd. And we see that in verses 22 to 30. In these verses, Jesus is proclaiming his dedication, his complete, full, to the end, dedication to his sheep. And notice that he does so against the background of another Jewish feast. And it's called the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication, that's what it's called here. It's a feast celebrated by the Jews all around the world, even today. And do you know what it's more commonly called? Hanukkah. The Feast of Lights. Now, it's interesting for a number of reasons that John would mention it here, but the big one is that it's interesting that John would mention it because the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Lights, Hanukkah, isn't in the Old Testament. It's not one of the prescribed feasts of the Old Testament. It's not one of those great Old Testament feasts. So where did this feast come from? This Feast of Dedication that we have here in John 10. Well, in the year 167 BC, an Assyrian king by the name of Antiochus, recognize that name, he seized Jerusalem after a bloody conflict. And it wasn't enough for him just to defeat the Jews. He wanted to humiliate them, to mock them, to ridicule them, to demean them. And so as he came into their capital city, into Jerusalem, he demanded that he be called Antiochus Epiphanes, literally God manifest. And he was coming into Jerusalem, coming to the Jews, saying, I'm your God now. And he proceeded to make a mockery of the Jews and their religion when he seized Jerusalem. This Gentile, this pagan, this blasphemous king entered into the most holy and sacred place of the Jews. He went into the Holy of Holies. You know what he did there? He took a pig, that unclean animal, and he slaughtered it there in the Holy of Holies. And he took the blood of the pig, and the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there, but he took the blood of that pig and he sprinkled it upon the Jewish scriptures, upon the Word of God. Intentionally seeking to defile all that was holy to the Jews. And then he forbade the Jews to worship. He wouldn't allow them into the temple. He wouldn't allow them to carry out any of their religious sacrifices and ceremonies and feasts of the Old Testament. He forbade them to worship the one true God. And he made a decree that anyone who possessed any part of the Hebrew Scriptures was to be put to death. It was a dark time, a difficult day for the Jews living in Jerusalem. There seemed to be no light. But then a small band of Jews, led by a man named Judas Maccabeus, gathered together a number of rebels, a number of Jews, and they revolted, as they must, against Antiochus. And after 3 long years, they actually defeated him. This God was no more. And they drove him out of the land, and Judas Maccabeus then proceeded to cleanse the temple and rededicate it. And that was in the year 164 BC. And so it was decreed then by the Jewish authorities that a feast of dedication, Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, should be held every year. Lamps were lit for the first time again in the temple, and that's why it's called the Festival of Lights. And every year, at the Feast of Hanukkah, the Jews rejoice and they celebrate this glorious liberation, this glorious dedication, rededication of the temple. It's a feast of dedication, and lights are lit. And that's why John refers to it here. And it's still celebrated, as you know, by Jews around the world every year, usually early to mid-December. In this Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, in this Feast of Dedication, the Jews celebrate the dedication of the temple to God. So why does John mention it here? Well, he mentions it here because he wants to point to a far greater dedication taking place. And it's not our dedication to God, or dedicating a temple to God, but it's God's dedication to us in Christ, the Good Shepherd. And that's what we see going on in the verses that follow in our text. We see something of the level of Jesus' dedication to the sheep in these verses. The Jews are gathered around Jesus now as he walks in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, and John mentions that it's winter. It's a cold time of year. That's probably why he's in that region of the temple. But you see, it's pointing to something greater. It's not just the cold of winter. It's the coldness of their hearts. It's not just the darkness of winter. It's the darkness of their souls. Because the Jews here are gathering around Jesus, not as sheep who hear his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, but they're gathering around. The image here as they gather around is that of wolves encircling to tear down the shepherd. They mean to devour him. And so Jesus makes very clear to them in these verses, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. He knows what they're up to. And how important those words will become for his disciples later. Remember that Jesus was not some passive victim that was brought down against his own will, but that what Jesus was doing in his death and in his resurrection, he was doing in the fullness of his authority. He was willingly laying down his life for the sheep. And he willingly took it back up again for the sheep. He said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. These wolves, of course, are not listening. And so they declare Jesus, the Son of God, demon-possessed, insane, and they don't hear him. But Jesus' sheep hear him. They hear his voice, and they rejoice in Jesus' dedication to the sheep. Now, we don't have the time to go into all these verses in this section, but just look with me at a moment, a sampling of them, verses 28 to 30. Look what Jesus says concerning his dedication to his sheep, a dedication that results in the safety of the sheep. He says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What a great declaration. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives a gift to the sheep. He gives them eternal life. Now we'll see this powerfully illustrated next Lord's Day, Lord willing, in chapter 11, where Jesus raises one of his sheep from the dead. Jesus' sheep will never be devoured, will never be snatched from the shepherd, will never perish. Jesus says, no one will snatch my sheep out of my hand. My Father has given the sheep to me, and the Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Again, what a comfort this is to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are held, we've been told, in the hand of the Good Shepherd. You are held in Jesus' hand. And he says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. And then he goes on to add to that, you're also in the hand of the Father. And no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And he says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. So you are held in the hand of Jesus. Jesus' hand is held in the hand of the Father. You are doubly enfolded in the hands of the living God. And you see, it's not just that Jesus is dedicated and committed to you and to your salvation, but the Father is as well. What is Jesus saying to us here? He's saying, in no uncertain terms, God is a shepherd to his people. You are secure, dear sheep of the Good Shepherd. And you're secure not because you've got a hold of Jesus in your hand and a hold of the Father in your hand. You're not secure because of how strong your hold is on God, but because of God's hold on you. He will hold you fast. He will never let you go. No one can snatch you from his hands. Well, look at the Jews' response then to Jesus' dedication in verse 31. The response, well, you can anticipate it by now, is murder, which makes Jesus' response to them all the more amazing, verses 32 to 38, where he calls on these ravenous wolves to believe, to become sheep. And they then accuse him of being a man and making himself God. Ultimate blasphemy. But they couldn't have gotten it more wrong. It's not a man making himself God. He is God who's made himself man for us and for our salvation. And so he calls, though, even these Jewish leaders to believe. And if they don't believe in him as the Son of God, at least believe the works. He's saying, at least acknowledge the works. You've seen it right in front of your eyes. And you think about the works that he's done. Just some we've seen already. Healing a blind man. Never been done before. Healing a lame man. Healing a young boy. These were all gifts and works done for people in need. Jesus knows the needs of these religious leaders. And so he offers to them also, to all who would hear, he offers the gospel to them again and again and again. Think about that. He offers the gospel to wolves. And the Jews respond by seeking again to arrest him. Verse 39. And again, Jesus escapes from their hands. They could not take his life from him. Remember, he would lay it down of his own accord. He's just told them that. And that brings us to the end of our passage, verses 40 to 42, where we find Jesus now leaving Jerusalem. Salvation is not to be found there. It's becoming so very dark in Jerusalem, very dark even in the temple, dark among the Jewish leaders. While they would gladly celebrate their dedication to God, their piety, while they would gladly celebrate the works of their own hands, just look at what they've rejected. They've rejected God's dedication to fallen man, to sinners. They've rejected the work of God's hands. They will not believe. Jesus came to his own. Remember what John tells us at the beginning of this gospel. And his own did not receive him. And yet, praise God, there were those beyond the Jordan who by grace did believe, did hear the shepherd's voice. Verse 42. So then what is John 10 all about as we step back, look at the entire chapter in closing here? Well, it's about this wonderful truth. The good shepherd has come to seek and to save the sheep. And the truth is he's still doing that. He's still in the business of seeking and saving sinners like you and me. How does he seek? How does he save? How does he call the sheep? How does he speak to his sheep today? How do they hear his voice? Well, he speaks to us and he saves us by his gospel. In the gospel is the voice of the good shepherd spoken to sinners, sinners like you and me. This is the word of the Good Shepherd. He calls us here not on some feast of dedication, but he calls us here today on the Lord's Day. A day in which he proclaims to us his dedication to us. And we've seen it already at the very opening of our service. The opening words of our worship time together, where the Good Shepherd greets us with grace, mercy, and peace. He doesn't assemble the sheep here to beat them and to say, I know how much you strayed this week. I know what a defiled and soiled sheep you've become. Therefore, get away from me. You have no place in the sheepfold. That's not what he says to us at all, though we certainly deserve that. He says, come, and he says, grace to you. And it's the voice of your good shepherd you hear when he announces to you and proclaims to you pardon for your sin, saying to you, I loved you, and guess what? That hasn't stopped. I love you still. And then he proclaims his gospel to us in the ministry of his word, pointing us again to what he has done for us, pointing us to his blood, his righteousness, to his death, his resurrection, his life laid down, his life taken back up for the sheep. He's pointing us again every Lord's Day to the immutable fact that he is for the sheep. He's for us. And then before we depart, our shepherd speaks to us yet again. And he says, as you leave this place of worship, that you leave not under a sentence of condemnation. You leave not needing to go out and earn your salvation, but you leave this place under a word of grace, under a word of blessing, benediction, so that you may go forth in the full knowledge that you are a sheep of the Good Shepherd, and that no matter what comes in this day or in the week ahead or in the years ahead, that you are still held in His hand. You are still held in His hand, still held securely in the hand of your Heavenly Father and of the Good Shepherd, and He will not let you go. And so you see what Jesus is doing Lord's Day after Lord's Day. He's proclaiming to you His benediction. He's proclaiming to you His dedication to you. He's proclaiming to you your safety in His arms. The shepherd who did what the Pharisees would never do, the shepherd who became a lamb for sheep like you and me. And what better place for needy, lost sheep than to be in the hands of the faithful Good Shepherd? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and we want to follow Him. But we confess also that we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Thank You for Your assurances and promises here that nothing can snatch us out of Your hand, that where there's a lost sheep, the Good Shepherd goes and brings him to the sheepfold, and he is securely there. Father, thank You for pointing us to Jesus in such a powerful and beautiful way. Help us to hear this truth, to believe it, to be sanctified according to it. Thank You for the gospel. And Father, we pray that You would bless each one here. And we ask it in Jesus' name.